ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to this week's episode of Action for Everyone. After missing a week off, I am, as always, your host, Mike Scott, for this here November 12th, 2023, joined, as always, by Vice Victus. Vice, how are you today?
You know, we take it down some downtime every once in a while because we do such big things on the show that I can't even believe. And today is one of the biggest. So I'll not delay this any further. Let's do it. I'm doing great.
And all the way from Indonesia, where it's midnight, Liam O'Donnell. Liam, how are you today?
Well, second Vice's endorsement there. And yeah, once again, it's midnight for me. So I'm on Bintang number three representing.
And Liam, you're coming in really quiet for some reason.
Oh, okay. Let me put up my... There I thought my input, level looked really high when I signed on.
No, but this is better. Yeah, you're good.
The computer knew better than I did. Okay. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm excited. And now I have proper levels.
Yeah, now you sound good. And as Vice said, we're doing big things yet again. We are joined by a very, very special guest this week. He is a former member of the Jackie Chan stunt team. He is the fight coordinator for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. His most recent movie is Knights of the Zodiac. He was the fight coordinator for The Rundown. He was the fight coordinator for the stunt coordinator for the Twilight movies or for Twilight. Like, I could list everything he's done. Andy Chang. Andy, how are you today, man?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Alec and Liam. Thank you. I'm very exciting. Thank you for having me here. Go ahead and let's see how to go.
All right. Thank you. Well, I think we'll start off by saying, first of all, that we're all giant fans of your work. I think anybody that likes action movies has to be a giant fan of your work. You know, you're sort of one of the biggest guns out there right now in terms of fight choreography. And one of the things I always like to do when we get a guest on like this is to kind of start with, when did you first start getting your origin story? When did you get into martial arts? When did you start getting into, and then when did you start getting into film work?
My origin story. I start from very young, you know. I grew up in Hong Kong, you know. I am a street kid, you know. My family is living in a very poor house, you know, a poor place, you know, this, the village we are. Just everyone just go out on the street, you know, like running around. And I see Kung Fu, it's of course, in everyone know, you know, the legend Bruce Lee. The first time I see is Fist and Fury when he set his second movie, not the first movie. So when I see that, I said, wow, that's so cool. And I learned from the street, all the people learning martial art around, you know, my neighborhood, but I don't have money because I'm so young and, you know, and my family. So I'm just learning from the people they learn from the school. So after they learn, they teach us in the street. So that's how I start. I start from a martial art called Hong Quan. So, and since then, I waiting for a long time until I'm high school. I'm junior high when I first time have a chance to really learn from someone is a taekwondo. Because the school have the class, you know, much, much cheaper, but it still has cost me so much money. I have all my breakfast money to save it for a month. Then how I start taekwondo, and then I start falling up. So this is how I start martial art. But then my real influence to think about doing movie or something, that is another hero, Jackie Chan. So that is when I, in junior high, when I remember watching Jackie Chan, Police Story Run. Remember Police Story Run?
Of course.
So he's chasing the bus. You know, he's chasing the bus in the mountain. And that mountain, that hill is the where I live. So I see him running down to the hill. I say, wow, I can do what he's doing, you know, because we're doing a cardboard. He's running down, but of course, he's really like a stunt running down. And we when we young, we use a cardboard, and we just slide the same hill where he chased the bus. I said, so that is the influence. I said, oh, I can do what he's doing. So then I was thinking about the movie. before, I have no idea. You never plan, you know, when you're young, as early teenager, no plan, and all I do is taekwondo. But then when I see that, I say, oh, I want to do movie. So they kind of like that lead into me to get into the business. But I'm lucky too, you know, like more than maybe over 10 years later, then I have a chance to work for Jackie Chan. And then he brought me to America. You see the picture behind me, those poster. That's where I come, this first three movie bring me to America. And the far corner, that one. And then after I immigration to LA, Hollywood, 3 years later, I directing that movie called Endgame. My first movie I direct. So this is the whole idea.
You are
where,
yeah,
I come from.
Yeah, you kind of exploded out on the scene. I mean, you're doing stunts for Who Am I, which is one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies. I absolutely love that movie. And then you're coming over to the US. He's got you doing Rush Hour, but then also shortly after that, you team up with Isaac Florentine to do US Seals 2, which is a movie that I adore, and I think our audience does. I mean, we're big Isaac Florentine stans. We love Isaac. We love all of his work. And you know, I remember seeing US Seals 2 in 2001 and being blown away that I was seeing such Hong Kong level stunt work being done in this low budget direct to video American movie. Can you talk a little bit about working on that movie with Isaac and especially with Michael Wirth, who, you know, is I think a really underappreciated martial arts star?
Wow, you are really a big fan of martial arts movie. And you does see my movie and my career, you know, one of the like underrated, you know, people don't really talk about it, you know, because it's a low budget action movie. And yeah, Isaac is amazing, you know. I like him, you know, he's a really good director. Same thing, you know, he is underrated, you know, people do not really know who he is, you know, but the martial arts fans will know. Great guy, great, great director. He has his own interpreted about how to do action, sound, you know, so all kind of stuff, because he's one of the director I like, you know, but he trapped into the or he stick into it, the martial art world. Michael Wirth, same thing, you know, great actor, very talented, handsome man. And you know, when we work together in US Seals 2, I can see he's have a lot of talent. But you know, sometimes, you know, in this business, it's not just you know, how much talent you have. Sometimes you need other side, you know, luck and, you know, timing, you know, so maybe. But he is a great guy, you know. I very enjoy to work with him. And go back to the movie, you know, we shot in Bulgaria. And that's my first movie. I'm as an action director. So I direct the second unit, so, and also coordinator, fight choreographer, everything, you know, all in one, you know, because it's this a small budget movie. But it's a really, really opportunity for me. Since I do that, I realize, you know, wow, I'm very interesting as a director. So that's kind of like give me a really good first experience, like, wow, I think I can handle it. So that kind of like make myself like, oh, I see my goal, you know, into more directing, you know, away from the stunt, you know, because that is almost like my last really like the movie I perform and coordinate. And at the same time, well, I feel, wow, this is a lot of work, you know, when you, especially when you're in front of the camera and then you're behind the camera, it kind of like have a little bit. Since that, I really give a lot of credit to, you know, Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, because they are in front of the camera, they're behind the camera, they control, you know, and then they put a lot of effort to allow themselves to perform the best, you know. But then physically, I can tell you, it's even I just won this movie. Like, I mean, this is the one biggest, you know, character I'm, you know, in front of the camera and behind the camera at the same time, because I never really like had that. You know, I just in front of the camera, but somebody behind the camera. But that is the same time, and I feel, wow, it's so difficult, so tired. And especially when I do the stunt, you know, you see I do the Hong Kong spin and hit the ground, and then I curve up, I get myself up. When I look at it, I say, wow, it's okay, you know, it's not that good. But I did three take, you know, whatever, and then I feel so tired. And I'm the one to say, well, I can be better, but I'm so tired. Then you're struggling as a behind the camera, you say, moving on or not moving on. So that's why since then I say, wow, you're behind the camera and then you're in front of the camera, it's not easy. So I like here, I'm going to mention to all the audience, like Jackie Chan, it's not easy. It's very hard sometimes because you want to put yourself to do the best performing. But sometimes, you know, many it's not just yourself, right? You sometimes timing with the stunt people, sometimes timing with the camera, everything has to be perfect to get one shot. Then you are behind the camera, of course, you when you look at it, you always want to push the limit, right? You want to be the best quality, but then you are the one to do it. So that's why I'm saying, when you see a person like Jackie Chan, you know, like even go back to Bruce Lee, when they pass, they say, okay, moving on, they have to be really struggling, you know, sometimes, because it's not easy to get a good take. So after that, then I say, okay, I should just behind the camera, not in front of the camera. So that's why you can see I will avoid to try to do in both in the same time. I will more behind the stuff. But that, it gave me the really good lesson. And I know I love, you know, directing. So since then, I chase my goal, you know, do all the movie. I'm trying to be, you know, action direct and then now direct. So, yeah.
I've had experience with actors where they want to keep doing a take and they don't believe that they've got it. And you're directing and you're like, no, it was great. It was perfect. And there's certain performers that just, it's never enough. And they want to keep going and keep going. So imagining that person as a director would be really, really tough. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like my experience with Jackie Chan, you know, one of the, in my career so far, he have a record, you know, like, you know, 3 days to do one shot, you know, and when you go back to, I think it's Dragon Law, I think it's Dragon Law, it's, I think called English, Long Siu Ye. So he did the one with the kicking the what's it called? Kind of like soccer, you know, they're doing the thing with the like a soccer and then kicking the thing into the goal. But then he don't want to go into the goal. He want the thing bouncing into the goal, bounce back. So he missed it. But he did that like 1500 take or something, like this longest take he ever heard. And then, you know, roll out all the film and that thing. And then my real experience with him is that the movie Michael said you love is called Who Am I? When we in Holland, we do the fight scene in Holland in the street, you know, with the Holland special shoes, you know, the boot and whatever called the wooden thing. So same thing we did with him. That one, I think is, I end up with, we in the street like half day, we do 70 something. That's the longer one I have. And then that's what Jackie, one more, because he wanted the shoes hit my face, and he wanted to jump in 360 and land both foot in, land on top of my foot, like really like all in one shot. Like he do a 360 kick, roundhouse kick the shoes fly into my face, and then he do another 360 jump land on top of my feet. It's like 70 some take on the street, you know. Yeah, and he never stopped until the perfect, you know. And right now, today, may be much easier, possible with CG the shoes, you know. And then back then, we all do the physical thing, you know. And then I remember that experience. It is the first one, it's the first 46 take, I think take 46. It's not mine. So first 46 take is from one of the my stunt brother, Paul, from Australia. So Paul did 46 take. And then Jackie say, Andy, go change. And I thought change to do what he doing. because then he said, no, change to be a Paul. So, and then I take the spot to say, wow. And then that moment, the whole street is like 200-300 people watching we're doing that. And then in the middle of the, and you go to change and then do the spot like maybe in 46 takes. So I go, wow, this is a lot of pressure to try to get that. So then end up like 70 some take, we got that shot. So if you go back to see the behind the scene, you know, it's like, that is one of the experiences, you know, you see how Jackie Chan, he will request himself in front of so many people and he just never give up. He want to be one perfect shot. So I learned from that, but then I say, when I behind the camera, when I in front and behind the same time, that's so tough, you know, so he's the one, yeah.
Well, and also when you come to the US, you know, one of the things we talk about on this show a lot is how part of the reason that I think people are disappointed in a lot of action in from Western movies is they don't have shooting days. They don't have 3 days to get one shot right. You know, I mean, you probably spend, Jackie has probably spent as long on one stunt as you guys spent shooting all of US Seals 2. You know, I can't imagine US Seals 2 was more than a 4-week shoot or something along those lines. So yeah, you know, it's, you can't afford to do that many takes in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, in the Hollywood, you know, system, or you know, when I come to this side, then I see the system is not allow you to do that. You know, they have the very tight schedule, and then they have everything, you know, on time. You know, the most important is on schedule. So it doesn't matter how much creative you want. You know, it doesn't matter how love you want to do and you do more take on something, like you just don't have that freedom, you know, in here in the way. So it's a more money, but it doesn't, the budget is much higher, but doesn't even you have that freedom. But then, you know, go back to Hong Kong, like yeah, the other small movies, same thing, you know, they always struggle with it. But then when I first time when I walk into Jackie Chan under Jackie, and I see, wow, this is a real filmmaking, you know, and then that's the first movie when I find me to Australia and do Mr. Nice Guy. That's the first time the first movie I worked with Jackie, and then after that, then I follow him and then become Jackie Chan stunt team. But that's my experience, the first movie with him, I see, wow, what is the director and what is the star power in that moment, you know. Jackie is the biggest star in Hong Kong. He have all the right to do whatever he wants. So he was, like I said, and another experience with Jackie is, we have one scene, if you remember the construction fight scene. That scene in Mr. Nice Guy, we went to the 2.5 day long shooting, not even bring the camera. We are good at the almost those third, 3 days we're not shooting. Until this third day lunch, he got all the idea in his head, and then suddenly say, okay, let's shoot. Let's do this. Have all the plan, all the construction, all the props, everything, and then we right away start doing that. Until here. But we have first 2 days, he just, we 6, you know, 5:30 early call time, we go there. We clean up the floor because the construction is not finished. So after nighttime, they all red, you know, and, you know, so we have to dry the floor and everything. We do spend like 2 hours to dry the floor, clean up everything and get ready. And then he just sleeping, thinking, you know, come up idea. And then when he, at the lunchtime, he just said, okay, wrap. So first day, wrap in the lunchtime. We never even changing. The second day, we do the same thing, dry the floor, and then he go wrap again. I said, wow, we wrap 2 days. Not shooting, camera cool, never even bring the camera out. We just wrap 2 days. And then the third day, we thought we're going to wrap again at the lunchtime. But then he said, okay, I got an idea. And so that's how much freedom he has. You see, he can spend 2.5 days just thinking. He had to see the set and he had to see the idea. So it's a very different style. You know, this is like I said. And then, of course, after that, when we come to Rush Hour, we have all the problem, you know, from very beginning, because they think, okay, if you let him do it, he will be like, spend that. But then he's so, when Rush Hour, we did the fight scene in the pool house, We show them, we're using 3 hours to finish the whole fight scene. 3 hours. So he can show you how fast here, how slow, how quality he wants something when he want to create. He don't mind to spend time to create it. He would want to be the best, so he will spend time. And then when we run out of time, like rush hour, that fight scene, supposedly we have 3 days shoot the scene, but then director shoot a 2.5 day. And then we outside and he start getting really frustration. And then that is the first time, like I said to another interview, that's the first time we Jackie step out to say, hey, this is not gonna work. Because we keep shooting and then 3 hours, it's possible there's no fight, maybe one punch and then we had to moving on because we next location, right? We won't be there. So that is like after 2.5 days, they shooting dialogue. And then say, I want to have this had to be a fight. So he step out and then talk to the director, talk to the DP, let me handle it. And then, you know, either you want to fight or no fight. And then they decide, okay, we only have 3 hours left. This is your time. You make it. And that's how we make the fight scene. So he can be really fast and then he can be, you know, very detailed. So you can see, you know, the Hong Kong style is really flexible. Flexible is Hong Kong style, meaning about people say, always say, oh, well, Hong Kong style. Like my interpreter, Hong Kong style is flexible. We are really flexible. We can, you know, based on what we have, we can show you something we can do, you know. So that's how I learned from, you know, my master, you know, Jackie Chan.
Now, was there a big difference? Like, you know, I'm looking at Mr. Nice Guy is directed by Sammo Hung and Who Am I is co-directed by Jackie Chan with Benny Chan. And then obviously you have Rush Hour, Shanghai Noon. Is there really a big difference on who's directing Jackie or is he kind of like his own force of nature on those films?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, of course, Sammo is, you know, one of the biggest and best action director or director in Hong Kong at that moment too. Sammo and Jackie, you know, of course he is Sammo, you know, directing them, Mr. Nice Guy. But when we separate, like I say, at the moment, when we do that construction scene, we are separate. So we're doing the Jackie direct that whole scene because it's Sammo directing another villain, you know, Richard Lawton, you know, they have the a lot of scene. So Jackie would take care of his own fight scene and Sammo would take care of all other parts. So that when the fight, when Jackie with Sammo, then of course Sammo is the one in charge, you know. So you when, you know, remember the horse, you know, the horse carry, you know, we're chasing with the train, you know, in the middle of the Sydney. So that would be Sammo Hung. So you can see the style, you know, when some style you can really tell Jackie and Sammo is the big difference. Then you talk about like, who am I with Benny, you know, same thing, you know, Benny take care of most, you know, the drama part, you know, and then when going to the fight scene, when we go to rooftop and then, you know, we do the big stunts to slide and all kind of fight scene, that's always be Jackie. So he kind of like, but we're not just action, but he's did the whole scene. We take the whole scene to, you know, Jackie will do it. You know, I would say Jackie Chan don't need a director. You know, he is a director and he can do all his own thing. But then he also very smart, just like earlier, you know, tell you, he will want to be the good performing, you know, sometimes when you're as a director. So it depends on which side you lean on, right? You lean on, okay, I will spend more time to fight. Then maybe when he do the acting, he may be less to take. Okay, moving on. I got it. So, but then he have a director behind it to make sure with the good performing, with the, because when you look at yourself, you always feel easier to say yes or no, you know, you pass out. Because though you're moving on, because acting is very, what's it called, very opinion, right? Very, you know, it's not what is the good acting, what's the bad acting. So sometimes he's so smart, he know if he have a good director behind it to overlook all the acting, all the storytelling will help him better. So I think that's why long time ago when he, the last movie is a miracle. I think he directing by his own and then he moved it because that is huge budget in long schedule shooting. But then after that, I think he understand that, you know, if he have a director helping him, part of that, so then the quality will be better. So that's how you see after that, he always uses Stanley Tong and many movies. They are really good partner. So that's how he team up with the director. I think that's the most important, is he wanted to be somebody overlook his shoulder to tell the story. It's not he don't know how to tell story. He just wanted somebody, so he won't lean on one side. He wants a very balanced. He take care of all the good action, you know, but then he also wants somebody to take care of the acting part. So I think that is the most why he need team up with the director.
So Andy, one of the things that also happened on US Seals 2 is you team up with Dan Southworth for the first time of what's going to be a handful of productions. And again, we're big fans of Dan on this show. I, in particular, have long championed a movie that he was in called Broken Path, directed by Koichi Sakamoto, one of the greatest martial arts films in the world, in my opinion. But Liam
which
is also
movie? Which movie?
Broken Path, directed by Koichi Sakamoto with Alpha Stunts. But Liam is also a big Rock fan, so I have to ask you about you and Dan working on Scorpion King and The Rundown, and working with The Rock as he's up and coming, and doing the fight choreography for that, especially. Well, I love the fight scene in The Rundown between Ernie Reyes and The Rock. I think you guys did such a great job with that fight scene. So what was it like working on those movies?
So there's two questions there. Let's go.
Sorry, yeah.
I don't know. So, okay, let's go back to Dan Southworth. You know, Dan is the, you know, I'm the first one when I met him, when that moment I'm doing Martial Law, when I was Samo, the TV show. I you know, sometimes I go to the gym to train, you know, the gymnastic gym, do the like open class, you can do training. But sometimes that moment I still training, so I go there to do gymnastic, and that's how I met Dan. And that moment, he just the gymnastic. He's not even a stunt then yet. He is a background. He haven't even got the set cut. So Dan Silver first set cut is from me. Talk to the Martial Law stunt coordinator, but then Jeff Galilandi. So I tell Jeff, hey, can we have a chance to hire this really good talent, handsome boy? And then that's how I get his first job. And then his first stunt is not even a stunt. He did the thing, he's doubling the actor as a dead body inside the coffin. So in the fight scene with Samo, we will accidentally hit the coffin fall off, and then the dead body fall out. So that is Dan Southworth's first stunt job. He just pay a dead body and roll over, hit the thing tip over, and he fall off, the dead body fall out. So that's his first stunt job, and that's how he get into swing upper skill. He got the set card, and then from that on, he become my assistant, you know, working for me, and then I start, teach him, wire working, how to do wire work, pull wire, everything. So he start. That is how we met at the gym, and then he start follow me. Then we work together. Yeah, many movies, and then when I got Scorpion King, of course, he's been my another assistant for Scorpion King. Rundown. I don't think he's on Rundown. Dan's not in Rundown, but that's how Dan start. And like same thing, he's very good, very good talent. You know, he have very good martial art and a very smart man. You know, learn stuff very fast. You know, very cool. You know, and yeah, and also he Lights of Soldier. He's on the Lights of Soldier. Is my another my assistant. You know, so that's my last movie when we were together. So yeah, he's a great talent, you know. I'm so happy his career, you know, take off. And then he's more like, he's not like some man. Oh, that's why I remember. Even the Rundown, I after Scorpion King, I say you got to focus on acting. Don't do stunt anymore. If you do stunt, you'll be a stunt man. But that's how I tell after Scorpion King. That's why Rundown is not on it. you should start focus on acting audition and even small part. That's how he got the Power Ranger, and then when he got Power Ranger and all the stuff in his career start take off as an action actor instead of stuntman. That's why. And then but once in a while I will hire him, you know, because you know the actor in Hollywood is not easy, so sometimes you need to pay the bill. So I will secretly hire him, so he, that's why you don't see all his credit or his face, because I don't even want to put him into my team anymore. But he come to work for me, you know, for wire, he would do some rehearsal and sometimes helping. I did commercial and all kind of stuff. He would work for me, but would never put him on, in front of the camera as a stuntman because he's an actor. So, but I give him opportunity to make some money, you know, pay the bill. So that's how me and Dan the relationship. And the last one, even that, same thing. I don't give him any credit and anything because it's an actor. I don't want to bring him, oh, this is a stunt team, you know. So he's not a stuntman, he's the actor. So that's why you won't know even Knights of Zodiac, you know, he helping behind the stuff with them. Then okay, go back to the second question is The Rock, just right?
Or working Ernie with The Rock, and- yeah, yeah.
The second question with The Rock, you know, is of course it's amazing, you know. I worked with The Rock first two movies, you know, Scorpion King and The Rundown. So Scorpion King is a reshoot, you know, so we work like 1 month more than we have rehearsal two 3 weeks, and then we shoot only 1 week reshoot. Great experience, we have really good chemistry. The Rock is really smart, you know, like I've been many interviews, I said that he is the one of the best learning choreography actor I never worked with. You know, I even compare him and Jackie. He is really amazing. Maybe his background, because he do live show, he do, you know, those WWE stuff. So he wrestling stuff is live show. So he's really smart with the choreography. Everything sometimes, you know, even we rehearsal with the fight scene, sometimes when you're on set, you do the adjustment, you know, maybe right hand become a left hand because all this person come from this side better than the right hand, or somebody when you rehearsal with the left hand, but then the person say, oh, I'm the right hand, then you need to change the choreography for the right hand. So he is to have that kind of ability, is like we can change it at this moment. Hey, let's change it. Even we do 5 takes later, he still can change it, and he can remember right away. So sometimes when you do so many takes, you just in your head, you automatic, but he can, you know, adapt on it. So that is why The Rock is you know, one of the best choreography actor I've never worked with. I feel him is really, really good. And then in the personal, you know, he's a very, very, very good discipline. Just like another Jackie Chan, he's a very disciplined. So he always tells himself Friday is a cheat day. So he very, he don't eat junk food or anything, but Friday he will, you know, the Krispy Kreme, you know, those donuts. So Friday he will have himself, he get himself a 2 donuts. He said, this is my cheat day, so I can have 2 donuts. So that's the way, that's how The Rock, you know, how he train himself, how he, for his diet, you know, he's very, very dedicated. And then he only allow himself for 2 donuts every week to Friday. So it's very cool. And I like him, you know, really, really good actor to work with, you know. And that's why he become a biggest, you know, action actor, you know, because he deserved it.
Well, that actually, Liam, did you have any questions on The Rock? That actually leads me to an interesting question, Andy, because you've obviously worked a lot with martial artists and stunt people in front of the camera, you know, guys like Michael Wirth. But you've also had to train more Hollywood mainstream actors. I don't want you to name any names, but how is it training Hollywood actors to, you know, mainstream actors to do the high level martial arts that you want them to do in movies?
I would say, you know, it's all depend, you know, if people, or, you know, I have this, you know, same thing, this kind of question. Sometimes they think, how long you need to train them, how you make them double. I can tell you, you know, some people you can, you know, train them 2 months, they'll be really like expert. Some people showing them 2 months, they still don't know how to throw a punch. It just all depends on the actor. You know, I like I saying, you know, it all depends like how much they want to do action. You know, a lot of actors, they will tell you, I'm the first actor. Why you ask me to do so much? You know, they're using stuntable or something. I'm not a stuntman. So some will give you this kind of feedback. You know, when you try to train them harder, they just, you know, put their hand out and say, hey, that's it. I'm not, you know, that, you know, so it depends. But some is like, they really want to be the best. When you see Tom Cruise, you know, he want to fight a jet and then you will learn the jet and then you will learn skydiving, you will do 3,000 skydiving. So, but that's not from the production. Definitely it's the personal, you know, I don't think a production will pay them all the time to train them. So then you see when they have a passion, want to do the best they want, they will put their own time and own money or whatever schedule to fit into what they want to learn. So another great success one is, of course, it will be a Keanu Reeves, right? Matrix, how he learned to Hong Kong action, do Wild World. And then when he's going to do like a John Wick franchise, you know, he learned all the jiu-jitsu, he learned how to fire the gun. So the actor, when you have, you know, luck and what's it called? You went into those actors, they really want to be the best, and then they will put their own time and do it. Then you got the result like who they are now today. The top Hollywood action star, I think these two can definitely in the top three, right? They have their own fan tribe, you know, Mission Impossible, you know, John Wick. They are so good because how much dedicated they're doing. Other action actor or other, you know, people, they come and go, you know, did one movie, two movie, they're gone. They're not action anymore because they are, I'm actor. They're not dedicated, they're not passionate about it. So that's all, says it all depends on the actor. It's not about who the choreography, you know, or who training them. They have to be trained themselves. They have to be the one want to train. So if we're lucky, you know, what would like Jackie Chan, then he will train to make the best. You know, like if you go back to Rainbow in the Bond, you know, when he do the what's it called? The water ski thing, right? So when he do that, he go to learn and he learn a lot of crazy trick, you know, how to using the bat, how to using your feet, because he want that. Because that's why. So you can see all the success action star, they put their own personal time effort to get who they are. So the question I can answer is all depend on, did they want it? If they want it, they put their own time, we can teach it, but they have to be full on energy to learn, you know, not, you know, like some people, they would just like reject you right away. I'm just actor. Why you ask me to do that? And they say, the director want you to do that, but you know, sometimes they're going to feel like the production, hey, send the actor here, but the actor say, hey, why you send me here to this? You know, I'm not. So really sometimes it depends on who we, you know, meet up with, you know.
Yeah, we talk a lot on this show about actors who do the work, as we call it, and how that can show up on screen. You can really see the actors that do the work. You know, just going back to you talking about The Rock and how good The Rock is at learning choreography, right? He does do the work, regardless of how the movie may turn out, he does the work. And there's obviously other actors that you can see in a movie and you can watch it and you can go, they, regardless of who's behind the scenes, who's behind the camera, you can see they didn't do the work. And so that makes sense, but that's gotta be frustrating for you when you're brought in to do this action design and you've got an actor that's just like, I'm not going to do the work on this. I don't want to do this. That's gotta be tough for you to like, work with that. I would imagine. I don't know, maybe I'm incorrect on that.
No, I think, yeah, of course, you know, whatever, who did that, you know, not just me, I mean, anyone is a fight choreographer or anyone as a coordinator, when they have a chance to do a good scene, right, a good action scene or good fight scene, everyone want to be the best, you know, everyone want to be have a best come out, you know, so that for sure they want to be proved the FLO, you know, trying to hopefully the actor can do it so the audience have more appreciate it. I think everyone have the same wish, you know, the actor will really like donate their own time and then they request the best they can. So that would be like I say, I haven't had a chance to work like with the, like John Rick, like Keanu Reeves or Tom Cruise. You know, if you as a fight choreographer, you work with those actors, you will be like, wow, amazing, because they will require the best they can, so they will help you. And but then sometimes you, like you say, you run into those actors, they really physical, they don't want to do it, they don't want to get hurt, you know, they, you know, there's so many many perspectives why they don't want it. So sometimes you just frustration, but then you just deal with that, you know. And then especially today, you know, if I tell you, you know, today is very easy, right? You can face replacement, you know, you can use the whole thing. This is the stuntman. You can be the actor, never even on set. So you can be that too. So that depends on it. So I think that the technology helping, you know, when you went into that situation and then you have a great stunt double, you can do that. Or you can using, you know, camera trick, you know, you can editing using edit, you know, to avoid that problem, you know, and just give them a close up. But of course, in the smart audience can tell, oh, this is, he don't put the effort on it, you know, this because you saw in the camera. So that's very simple, you know, that they always have to, you know, balance it, you know, when you, how much you put it, how much you resell, you get it. So that's very fair, you know.
I have to ask you about one thing for me and me alone, because nobody else even remembers this television show. I have to ask you about working on Black Sash with Russell Wong. I am probably the only person that remembers that show existed, but I watched every single episode of that show because I was a big Russell Wong fan. It was a martial arts show on primetime television. I don't even know what to ask. I just wanted to let you know, I remember Black Sash. I loved Black Sash.
And I will say, if you love the Black Sash, I don't want to take the credit because I never did the TV series. I only did the pilot. Mm. I did a pilot when I went to, I think that is not in Canada. The pilot is sitting in Los Angeles. I think in San Francisco. So I did the pilot only, but then I acted direct for that. And then I also play a little character there, I think. I forget it. I only did the pilot in the bus scene. Yeah, we have a little small bus scene, not the Shang-Chi bus scene, but the best house bus scene. We have a one funny scene in the inside of the bus, maybe one kick or something. So, Russell is amazing, good actor. Same thing, you know, under Ray, you know, sometimes they just doesn't find, you know, the timing, you know, after Romeo must die and whatever, but never get into a bigger spotlight. But good actor, good man. That's all. I only did the pilot with the I think the DJ, you know, the director when we did the pilot. Then the series moved to Canada, then I never anymore. So you know, but that's cool.
There'd be no series without a great pilot. So you can take credit.
You did a great pilot. But also, I will never, ever get the chance to talk to anybody that even was remotely involved with Black Sash. So I had to take it. The other one that's a bit obscure that I wanted to spend a couple minutes talking to you about is speaking of actors that do the work. You were the action director for a very incredible short film directed by Phil Juwano, The Punisher Dirty Laundry with Thomas Jane. That I think is just such a phenomenal action short film. How did you get involved? I sort of fringe have interacted with Phil a bit through some friends, but how did you get involved with Phil and get involved on that short film?
Wow, that's a good question. Phil, yeah, I met him I coordinate Phil commercial for him. That's why I have him. He's a commercial music video director. That's how. And then that when I remember I did the commercial with him with what's the actress? I forget the name right now. But we did the commercial And then he told me, "Oh, Andy, I'm going to do a Punisher short film with Thomas Jane, right?" So that's how he, when I do the commercial, and then he said, "Hey, I got this one next thing." So that's, oh, Jessica Alba. When I did the commercial with him and Jessica Alba, with Phil, and then he told me, "Oh, I'm going to do the Punisher." So that's how we team up, and then and then same thing, you know. He liked my work, so, and then I come up with all the fight scene and shoot the fights for him. And turn out, I mean, like, we have a big wish, you know. I just go back now, you remind me, I told that too many, I forget it. but then, yeah, we have a big wish. We thought we were going to do a movie right after that, but then never get picked up, you know, from the studio.
Yeah,
so never get picked up. But yeah, kind of a little disappointed. You know, I think the shot did a really good job, you know, and the shot is, if I'm not remember wrong, that shot is shot in a small camera, an iPhone or something, and then but we're using anamorphic lens onto what camera we're using back then. I forget it. Is this not like that magic or something? But not a film camera, but we're at that. Oh, or the Canons. Canon,
yeah, I was gonna say, Mark, was it the DSLR Canons?
The DSR, yes, right, the DSR, and then we mount into a Panavision anamorphic lens. That's why it's a, yeah, the DP, a Japanese DP, you know, a very good DP, and that's why the shot looked really good, you know, because the lens is really amazing, you know. So, yeah, but you know. But it's a good experience, you know, but sometimes you have a very high expectation, right? Because if we have Thomas Jane, we think this is going to be a big movie. But, you know, you're hitting the wrong timing sometimes, you know, those excess producers didn't see this is the potential. And then, yeah. Then I think then after that, yeah, they have different people do the Punisher.
Yeah.
I think Thomas can be very cool, but who knows?
Yeah, I actually think that short film is the best Punisher movie. That out of all the Punisher movies and the TV show, I think that short film is the one that most accurately. And you make good use of a Jack Daniels bottle. For those who haven't seen it, Thomas Jane beats the shit out of a bunch of people with a Jack Daniels bottle, and it's amazing. So yeah, that I love that short. That's another one that I had to ask you about because I have. I will force people to watch that short. Still, 10 years later, if people haven't seen it, I make them sit down on my couch and watch that short. So,
yeah, you should give them that. But the Jack Daniel thing is, you have to give it to Phil. Phil say, "Hey, let's get this bottle," and then you say, "Oh, let's get the label on the Jack Daniel thing." No, that's from Phil. I just choreographed the fight with the bottle, but this is how he won that thing. Is like, yeah. I appreciate that you loved it, you know. Yeah, to keep forward to the people watching it. I think they have really good number for short film, you know. I think they have really a lot of heat, you know. But like I said, you know, maybe sometime, you know, different eye, you know, they don't see that's the best. But Michael, you say is the best. And I take the credit. I say, yeah, it's not bad, you know. Like for what we have, I think we shoot like 2 days, 3 days, I forget it, or 1 day. 1-2 day, yeah. But really good. Good quality. At least it's a good quality shot. You know, not like it's not like cheesy and anything, and a very professional, you know, the lens and then, you know, everything. It's really like a movie, you know. It's not bad short film. Definitely can show people, we won't feel embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very often that you see a short film that's got a great director like Phil, a great choreographer like you, and a great actor like Thomas Jane and Ron Perlman, you know, showing up in a 10-minute short film. Like it really does feel like something special. Liam Weiss, I've been doing all the talking. Do you guys have any questions for Andy?
Well, no, first of all, Andy, if I haven't said it before, thank you for your time coming here. And I think part of the reason this show exists is because, you know, Mike started with Scott Adkins, you know, the great martial artist. He's been, you know, Undisputed, and now it's John Wick. And part of the thesis of the show is how modern 21st century action its roots and how it's changed and how it's just growing. You know, like people like Atkins and people like Florentine, they are part of this evolution. And as you're talking and as I'm looking through your filmography, we really quickly realized that you're also a very important part of this. Specifically, that the combination, the mix of the Eastern and Western martial arts, and how we as Americans see it, and in turn, how it changes throughout the world. You know, like some, you know, that guy in like a rundown where you see what Western people or different people in general doing Hong Kong style stuff, but at the same time, it has its own style to it. Like you mentioned, like a in the era of when Rush Hour came out, like Rush Hour and stuff with Jet Li, when Jet Li came to America, The Woman Must Die, Cradle to the Grave. That was very important for me personally, and it's also culturally in America because, well, you know, no other way to say it. You see black guy and Asian guy doing Kung Fu together. That was a big deal. Like, we didn't really see that before, you know? Yeah, you know, we had, like, just like how back in the day, Bruce Lee, he fighting, you know, Abdul-Jabbar, like, that was an important thing culturally for all of us. See if we could come together and do this great work. And then it happens again with Rush Hour and Jet Li and DMX fighting together. That's very important. It really is. It speaks to how we're not separate. Like, we can do this stuff together. So I'm seeing as your career goes, I feel like that maybe that's a theme in your style. It's like you have the Hong Kong background and also your personal Taekwondo experience, but it's blended so well together with the other the cultural stuff. You know, like martial again, like Brahma Bronx, Cradle to the Grave, martial law, even, you know, that's also a big important thing for, you know, kids here in America to see on television, high level, world class Hong Kong style stuff on TV. It was unheard of for us, you know. I'm from New York, so, you know, I'm in the hood watching like Sammo Hung do his great stuff, you know, like, and so you're also a part of that as well. Like, that's such a really cool to see. So I guess I'll save my other questions for later, but, you know, like things like eventually how we get to like Shang-Chi, just kind of, I guess stuff like Shang-Chi, kind of a premier example of that, you know, this classic Wuxia, classic Hong Kong. But now it's for all the young kids nowadays who maybe never saw that stuff before. They can see it with actors they know, and in the style, in the Marvel movies, the stuff that they're used to, and see, oh, wow, this is a whole new thing that maybe I've never seen before, but it fits, it works, because you have like guys like Simu Liu and these American guys, the Western people or people from their own culture sharing in this tradition. So yeah, I'll save more questions for later. So, but you know, like, I think that's my important takeaway so far is that you're integral to this cultural phenomenon and this the evolution of martial arts cinema as a shared thing. So I see, yeah, you know, I have a question about that later on. But yeah, that's my main point for now. This is great stuff.
But you know what? No, it's great. You know, that's just amazing. You know, thank you, Alec. You know, you are the first one. You know. As all my interview, you know, give me all. I mean, they use three of you, you know, give me so much credit. You know, I'm so happy. And then something you guys bring up too, I tell you, in my career, I totally forget it. But if you talk about resolution, yeah, all the revolution, you know, what the timing, you know, you guys just remind me now. They're so funny. All the stuff you bring up to, you know, the Punisher, the Martial Law, and the Best Ass, all the, you know. I say, you know, all those things, I totally forget it. But really, when you talk about the revolution, about Asian with blood, you know, together do an action movie or you know, like Rush Hour, the success, you know, the team. I can't that. But funny, you know, like even you talk about the TV show, you know, Martial Law. I run in all, you know, I getting all passing by, you know, I when you mentioned it, now I really feel myself like, wow, I did crazy. I'm pretty old for that because I did hit all the spots. Like I hit it, you know, like when we come, you know, for, you know, Rush Hour and then we do the TV show and it's like all revolution, you know, like really, if you, because all you mentioned, then I remember Jet Li is right after, you know, Rush Hour, when we do Rush Hour and then he did the he's in Lethal Weapon 4. I think he played a villain. So that, but that's he's only the villain. He's not even a star in the movie, right? But then he, you know, of course, he's so shy because of his talent. And then he licks one in the, I think the Romeo Must Die or something, at the Cradle. Romeo Must Die Before the Cradle. Yeah. So he become a star, and that whole thing we see. And then same thing in the TV. Never done that. And then we did the Martial Law, and it's so funny. You know, Martial Law is not even original. I only come to do the pilot. And then, yeah, when Stanley Tong did the pilot, and I helped do the pilot, but then we not even finished the pilot, we got picked up for 22 episodes. And then I trapped into, and then they keep me like, Stanley say, oh, we need, because the pilot, we have a stunt double, but they don't happy with the Samuel. So then they say, why you double Samuel? So then they keep me, and then I wear a fast suit. So that's first season is me, you know, doing the fast shoot with the Samuel. And then we finished first season. We haven't finished first season. We have really good rating. And then we know we have a second season. Then when second season hit, but Stan is a borrow me from Jackie Chan, you know. So I remember he said, I only borrowed Andy for 2 weeks for the pilot. But then end up I've become 8 months in it. And then that is that movie, Shanghai Noon.
Yeah.
When do second season, we shooting Shanghai Noon, and then I cannot come back on time. And then when I finished Shanghai Noon, because Shanghai Noon got delayed because the weather, and then we stop, and then we come back, and then we shoot the ending in the bell tower. Yeah. And the timing extension so caused me, I cannot go back for the second season. So that, and then I thought I can go back for the third season, but then they cancel. So I don't know that my luck's not there, and then somehow they cancel. And I thought I would go back for the third season, you know, because the do TV is really good money and good, you know, it's much easier than the movie, I feel. Yeah, but then unfortunately we not go back. But I this like what you said earlier, I just see, you know, I went into the movie, how we do Rush Hour, and then the revolution, Hong Kong action coming, and then Martial Law, the Hong Kong action going to the TV. So yeah, it's on, and then you go to the, and then the Hong Kong action have the one pit time, you know, like good, you know, and then, you know, all the Jet Li movie, and then we see that like good five year, I would say five, from 1998 till 2004 or 2005.
Yeah.
And then when I did Run Down, but then you see after that, then the Die Down, and then the long period, the Hong Kong action, kind of like because the Hollywood, they learned the system, they learned stuff, and then they invited to do different things. So then the Hong Kong style kind of fade out for pretty long, especially with physical fight scene. And then the John Wick, you know, and he, and then when we got the opportunity to do Shang-Chi, and then there's another big hit, and then after Shang-Chi, and then Everything Everywhere have a little action, Hong Kong action into it, right? You can see that. And then we got Oscar. So, but then we hit pandemic, right? We stopped. No, but then you see the second wave I got for my career. I say the first wave, you know, Rush Hour, you know, Matrix. This is the first revolution for sure for Hollywood. Right after Matrix and Rush Hour, then good 5-10 years, maybe not even 10 years. I think it's, but about that timing is good Hong Kong action. But then died down 2010, totally gone for a long time, and then. I think another action hit, a big hit, would be just like I said, it's a real Shang-Chi, and then John Wick, and that carry back up to the, you know, and then Everything Everywhere. So that's in my, for me, is I feel is the second revolution, second wave, and then we'll see how long this carry to, you know, and then possible I won't hit the third wave, you know, but we'll see.
Andy, I'm
into it, I feel. But I'm saying, like, I'm very, you know, you guys remind me now. I said, wow, that's kind of cool, you know. I kind of, like, stay on the periods and have an experience. And it's not just watching. I'm into it, so kind of really cool.
Yeah, yeah. You're like foundational to it, I would argue. You're like an important part of it. You're not just in it. You are part of it that is making it happen. So, which does lead me to the other movie that I need to ask you about, because we are devout Michael Bay fans on this podcast. And so I got to know about working on Six Underground, man. I have got to know about working on that movie.
That's interesting, you know. So Michael Bay fans, you know, I am too. I don't know, you see my another interview, the 4-hour interview about that, you know. You know, I talk about a lot that, you know. Yeah, I'm a big fan with him too, you know, but people don't know, you know, like people maybe hear so many, you know, from the reputation. But as a filmmaker, as an action guy, as who I am, work with him, and like I said, I open my eye and learn a lot, and I see somebody have a really good vision and knowledge about action. So I think, yeah, he definitely is one of the best, and then he know how put the camera and catching the best lighting composition idea. It's just, this is not somebody, you know, without that much talent, you cannot, you know, a lot of directors not even coach to do that, you know. It's just that they will rely on the DP and cameraman to give them the best composition and best moment, and he is the one hand on that. That's why he have his own Bayham camera, so he do it. He have a camera. That's why I learned. Next time if I'm direct, I want my Andy Ham, you know, my Andy camera, because I really feel, wow, that's how you get your vision. That's how you get what you want. It's not people think they cannot do it for you. It's just when you hand on it, it's much, you know, direct, because you exactly know at the moment just how much little angle touch in anything, little pen, it's all you, your vision. So he is the one vision. Nobody can do. I will shot the shot, he just threw away. Doesn't matter. I tell you that. He will never use my shot. That's how much he is not controlled, but how much he loved his vision. He believed himself than anyone. He would let people shoot it. That's my experience. He let the cameraman, he let DP, he let them do anything. Right after that, okay, you got done the best, walk away, my turn. Always do that. But he give you so that's why it's kind of crazy, right? He wastes good time using them to do rehearsal with the camera, rehearsal with the actor, and then he would jump on and do the way he want. So I think, wow, that's, it's like I said, very admirable, because he's the one, only one I work in Hollywood 20 years, over 20 years. He's the only one I would say is the director system. He's the director system. He don't do studio system, he don't do producers. He's a director system. He do exactly what Jackie Chan done. That's why, wow, when I work with him, I said, wow, I feel I go back to my hometown. I work with the person I call director. It's like, wow, this is where I grew up from. I miss that. So that's why so much love and so much, every time I talk about him, I give so much credit, because it's like I go back to my hometown or homecoming, you know. I see someone I'm missing, you know, in 20 years, I don't see someone I feel is come from the same hood and same skin. Even we look so different, but I feel it, like, and yeah, and funny, you know, he even called me Hong Kong Bay, you know, so he introduced me to Brian Reynolds.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. Why? Because when I in the show, when I one scene, I finally work with, because Ryan do mostly car stuff, you know, I don't have too much, you know. But then when we do the fight scene in the boat, and then hey, do you met Andy, right? And then Ryan said, oh yeah, this is Andy. But the first one, he not called Andy. He said, do you meet Hong Kong Bay? So he tell Ryan, this is Hong Kong Bay. And I thought it was very fun, and then it's really good. I said, nothing wrong with that. I said, it's a really good come, you know, compass, you know, for me to feel, oh wow, there's an honor, you know, call me that. But yeah, well, go back to Michael, you know, he's the man, really good. for action, it just had to be hand down. And I remember one more too. It's a when I who am I? Mr. Nice Guy. The first movie I go since I with Jackie, and then I remember we're moving location, and we have done a day off, and then we went to see a movie with Jackie. I think that is the movie The Rock. The movie The Rock. That I remember, if I'm not wrong, yeah. And then we see that, and then we come out of the theater, and then even Jackie talked about, wow, this is a Hollywood movie, you know, flip the train, and then, you know, have a Ferrari, and then downhill, and then that is a movie we're watching together with Dagor, and then he even give credit, wow, this is amazing, this kind of, because that moment we still haven't even started doing Rush Hour yet. So he back to Hong Kong. We're in a Hong Kong production. When we look at it, he also gives so much, wow, how much they are, you know, what, how this is visually, and then he's like, wow, this is, he can also feel, you know, it cannot even comparing, you know, how they can do flip the train, you know, because it, right to hear the, it's called train, how do you call that? It's a train.
Trolley, yeah. The streetcar, yeah.
And he flipped, and then I remember that the big, all the barrel hit down to the downhill, and amazing thing from that. And then, yeah, that is Michael Bay movie. Wow. That's how we start seeing this great, great director. And then I work with him after 20 years later. I said, wow, how lucky I am, right? So everything I love, you know, I end up to, you know, yeah. So I don't know. It's always feel like myself really lucky I did so much. I hit all the hero when I watching this movie, and I keep, you know, and then end up work with them, you know. Yeah. You know, like when I do my movie, when I young, I remember Cannibal One and Jackie and Burt Reynolds. And then end up I work with Burt Reynolds, and then I directing him in my movie, right? So like, wow, I went into all the hero, and then I would never think about what would, you know, Michael Bay, and then somehow I went with Michael Bay, you know. So it's amazing all the people I loved before their work, and then I run into them. So very, very, yeah. Very grateful.
It's like, I guess this cycle of influence is maybe that's kind of the reward. Like, you know, us here in America seeing Hong Kong action, and then our American actors, our directors like Liam, and, you know, they put that stuff into their movies. And then to see you to get influenced by it, and then later, years later, make it become part of it. This is your kind of, it's kind of beautiful, like the cycle of each other influencing our style and our work to make it, just make it better and better. That's the karma, I guess, you know, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, let's talk a little bit. Let's give you a chance to talk about Knights of the Zodiac. I think I'm the only one that's seen it, but I have seen it. The thing that I most am interested in is you are working in that movie with an actor that I think is on his way to becoming an action legend in Mac and You. He is a shooting star, man. His star is just going supernova. So talk a little bit about working on that one and working with him.
Nice to show that. One thing is that we, why do we say is that we are kind of like a wrong timing when we release the movie. We should release the movie after One Piece, so then the movie called Possible would be a huge success. So we released the movie before One Piece, you know. That's just one of the unfortunately, you know, it's the same thing, you know. You know, like all the actors we mentioned earlier, you know, they don't got the biggest spotlight because they're just wrong timing. Right? Sometimes movie is not just how good you are. Sometimes you need the right timing. And then I think that movie just really did the wrong timing. The movie should release now. And then I think the people will go theater to see it. You know, magazine, you know, it's like you are definitely right. Even I work with him when we rehearsal. When I met him and then rehearsal and then we start shooting, I because lucky, you know, Michael, you know, one thing, he grew up in Beverly Hills. So he speaks really perfect English, you know, as a Japanese with no accent. Great actor, handsome, super handsome boy. Very dedicated about his body, diet, you know. That's why when you people go see at the end, in Knights of Zodiac, when he shirtless, when he take off his coat, those muscles, the real muscle, it's not CG. Oh my, I tell you, those muscles is amazing. How he in the whole time he always waiting for that scene, and he wait till the end. He always say, when I will take off my clothes, the first thing I think when we me and him and the director, when we're talking, the first question is when I need to take off my clothes so I can prepare. So is that how much diet he did, you know, and then get that muscle and train, you know, every day you train like 4 hours, just the body training to keep that muscle. And you know, in the martial arts side, he is a really real talent. His background, his father, you know, Sonny Chiba, he grew up with learn all the taekwondo, karate, and he really good with the, like I say, physically, you know, he's one of the great talent I haven't met for a long time, because he have a really good background. And then also, I think, like what Michael would say, he will be definitely the next big action star if he want to get into that. Like I said earlier, if he want to focus on that, he definitely have a potential to become one of the best in the, like, a new generation, for sure. If he want to, he will be the one of the best, because all the talent he have, and then his looking and his English, you know, I think, yeah, he will be. And then you saw, you know, in the One Piece, you know, they did a great job for him. And then in Knights of Zodiac, let's go back to the movie. You can see he did almost everything, you know, most fight scenes with himself. And then he physically, he can definitely can do it. So I'm very lucky to work with him, and a great talent, you know. I even from the rehearsal, I remember I always talk to him. I say, hey, keep who you are right now. Keep it like this. Don't change it. Just keep like this. And then you will be something really, really big. And I say, because when I meet him, I just really like, am I, you know, the talent he have. And I go, wow. So I keep remind him every time I tell him, just, hey, just keep it like who you are now. He will be the big one, you know. So I can see that, you know. And I see another talent, you know, a long time ago. I remember even go back. We talked about Twilight. When I do Twilight, Rob Pattinson, same thing. When Rob, Twilight is his first movie as a star. Like he's in Harry Potter, but he's just one of the side cast or something, right? But then, man, Twilight is the first movie he's a leading man. Same thing, Ian Talon, have so much inside his head, but that it doesn't fit into the system yet. And that moment, he's from England, right? Come to Hollywood, you know, and then the production give him a lot of looks to how to act like a, you know, vampire, you know, what he's doing. So, but he himself, he have a different interpreter. He's struggling. I remember when we were at party, we talked. And he even tear down, you know, he even water eye. And I said, hey, it's okay. I said to him, I said, hey, this, because nobody knows how Twilight end up will be, right? Nobody know before the release. But I said, this is already have some fans, you know, come to their set to watching. I said, this is one of the good opportunity. If this movie is success, you can interpret it, do what you want. I said, just hand on that, you know, trust yourself. And I see him as an actor, he have a lot, very much, much, much deeper, you know, and then as an acting, how he wanted performing. And then I see him when he do Batman, you know, and then the Nolan movie, right? Tenet? Yeah, when I see him do that, and then after that, and Batman, and the wow, finally people see this actor have that kind of talent, you know, acting when it, I mean, that Batman is one of the best Batman. Yeah, I mean, different kind of Batman, but I think that Batman is kind of really special. And I can see, you know, he will get into that very, very, very dark, very deep character. He would be that kind of actor. That's from very beginning, he already, even Twilight, you see how he did. He trying to be really, really deep, very subtle acting, but then he got so much, you know, he, at that moment, he don't have, he's a young actor. I remember one point even have a, I don't know if this is a story I can tell, is they almost want to fire him. Say, you don't listen to us, you go home. You know, that's why he's the tear down. He's like, oh, they don't let me do what he thinking is right. And it's struggling, but then he had to listen. This is, I said, hang on there, let the movie release, then you will have to say when you success. Then, of course, success, then he start getting into what he is. So when I see the Rob.
Andy, what was he doing that was so weird that they wanted to fire him?
He just wanted to do, no, they just tell him if you not listen, because they want him. Think about what is one of the scene about the love scene. The I think it's about the scene when he with the Christian, when they want him have a more love, like smiling to her or something, like had the more intimate between them. But he said, "I'm 500 years old. I've been meeting so many lovers and something. I don't have love anymore. I don't." So he's even the way I think the producer tell him to do something, I forget what is it, something, so he don't really agree or something, right. He's struggling.
Right. He was intellectualizing it too far, and it's like, hey, at the yeah, end of the day, he wanted teenage girls to want to kiss you, so just, you know, be romantic.
Yeah, something like that. So he kind of like, it's just different directions, not right or wrong, you know, but then they just kind of like tell him, like, we got to do this, not we're going to change you, you know, it's something. So he's panicking, you know, he's just scared, like, oh my God, you know. So you never know, you know, when you're a young actor, when you get that situation, right? So, but then, of course, right now, nobody would tell him that. but then maybe they just try to scare him, but not really do it, but then kind of like make him like, okay, just follow the direction, you know, what they want. Maybe their marketing thing is that way. So I think sometimes back then,
it proved that he had integrity, and it's no surprise that he, you know, is a success.
No surprise, but that's why when he does the Batman, when he come up with that, I think there's no surprise. You know, he really have it. You know, and like I said, but that took him like 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Sorry. No, it took him over 10 years. Right. Yeah. 2016 or 18 is the Twilight or something like that. Yeah. 2008. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's more 2008. So it's a lot. It's like
12, 16. 13 years. Yeah.
13, 14 years. So he is that. And then when I go back to Mega Yun, I see Mega Yun will be another one like that. Mega Yun will be another actor in the future in 10 years. You will see him have a lot of, he also have a lot of, like I said, internally, I can see he have a lot of idea how he won, how he performing and how he loved it. But then I don't know, he was strictly into it as an action path. That's only he can tell, you know, what he want. But I say if he want to pick just action, he for sure will be another big Jackie Chan, Jack Lee, that kind of level. Or he want to be just actor, so he'll be around that everything, so not just stick on the one genre. So it depends. It's all depends. But he definitely have an opportunity and a choice. He can make a choice, you know, what he like.
Well, and the camera just loves him. I mean, that you cannot take your eyes off him when he's on screen. He's an unreal talent. So yeah, I hope he just keeps going on I hope he does go on that Robert Pattinson path and he just takes off. Andy, we know you've got your martial arts celebration to get to, so don't want to keep you too long here, but is there anything else that you want to talk to us about? Can you tell us what you're working on now, what's coming on down the road or anything like that?
I would love to, but then I'm not allowed to.
Not allowed. Yeah.
Because I'm excited for it. It's one of the big project on personal. When I can say it out loud, then you guys will exciting too. I promise you, because I did mention about that earlier. If people hear that the name, I mentioned that. But then I'm going to working on the movie about that. But then I will talk about, the film festival I'm doing today. Right after this interview, I'm going to do my martial art day, my second year martial art day for the Asian World Film Festival. So I'm in charge of this event. It's the, I gather a bunch of different kind of martial art people, different kind. So it's not just, Chinese, Kung Fu or Wushu or boxing. So I mix everything. I have fencing, I have samurai, I have capoeira. So I'm mixing demonstration today in a couple hours. I'm excited for that. This is my second year. We got a lot of good sponsor. And from Japan, Meihodo, they give us a really good sponsor. And they also find from Japan today, 2 days ago, they find four talent come here to demonstration bow and arrow, traditional bow and arrow, and traditional karate. So they come in to perform. So it's really amazing from the far east, Japan give us the support, that's amazing. So that's why I need to mention about that. Yeah, Meihodo, really cool. And I'm excited for that today, for that martial art day. And also, thank you, Bruce Lee Foundation, and Sherlyn, they support us. That's why the martial art day exists with the AWFF and then Bruce Lee Foundation with Sherlyn support. And then we have this second year, and I have something in the martial art day, we will talk about the next year. We also have another goal, my another project next year. We're trying to do something about Bruce Lee. So we'll see. Keep follow me, and then you will find out. Hopefully that's a big mission. The next year we have one really big mission we want to do. It's about Bruce Lee, where he lived, and then we were trying to get the street become his Bruce Lee Alley. We're trying to get that changing in Culver City. So we'll fight for that, So it's going to be so cool if that happening. So I will let you guys know that's awesome. is the goal. Yeah, that's my next year goal for that part, and then also my project, the movie I'm going to direct. So
awesome. Andy, if people do want to follow you, well, I guess I should say, Vice, Liam, any final questions for Andy?
No, I do. I have to just tell you, I have four kids, and the youngest was born in 2020. And for whatever reason, when he was 1 year old, like the only thing that would calm him down would be Shang-Chi. So I've probably seen this movie like roughly 200 times, but specifically the bus fight. I would put the bus fight on, and he would just totally zone into this movie, and he had the Shang-Chi, underoos and everything. So, I've kind of seen everything in that fight frame by frame many, many times. And I always find, new things that you guys did in the choreography that I really enjoy. And, I just want to thank you, because of all the movies for my kid to get obsessed with, it's pretty awesome to have one shot by Bill Pope and choreographed by you guys. So I really appreciate that.
That's cool. Now the bus scene, I don't know I can, but I was thinking about that someday. I'm going to cut. So all the different versions, there's so many versions.
Oh, I'm sure there's a much longer version. Yeah.
I don't know. I can allow to do that, but I don't know. But I say we have all the rehearsal and so many version. But then we almost go back to the very beginning one. But then we have a lot of different one. But yeah, that bus scene is one of the scene I'm really proud. You know, it's a cool scene I got that done, and then people like it. You know, oh, I got a phone call. But yeah, I got that your kid like it, you know, and then that's one of the scene people have a lot of comment, you know, say they love it. So yeah, I think this is one of the highlights of my career, people, because they all say, oh, we love the bus scene, but yeah, it's a cool combination. Yeah, very cool combination.
And again, I have to
a lot of hard work.
I have to stress, you know, like how important you are. You're still doing this. When I was his son's age, his kid's age, as you know, when Martial Law came on, and I'm seeing the fight in, you know, in the mechanic shop, you know, and I'm like, why? And now still, kids now are seeing your work. They're, wow, like this is really important, that work that you're doing, and I'm enjoying it. So I just want to say thank you for like keep having this influence on our action. This is, you know, it's so crucial. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and this is what's so important about movies like Shang-Chi and Knights of the Zodiac that are more sort of family-friendly martial arts movies. Those are, Shang-Chi is a whole lot of kids' first martial arts movie. And that movie kicked off a whole lot of people who are going to grow up into friggin' martial arts nerds like me, who are going to be sitting here geeking out about stuff like U.S. SEALs 2 because they watched Shang-Chi, you know, and so that it's a great gateway as a movie, and you do such a good job in those movies of making very kinetic, hard-hitting fights while still keeping them very family-friendly, and that is not an easy balance to pull off, and you've done that time and time again in your career, from stuff like The Rundown, which was also, you know, a PG-13 movie, all the way up to Shang-Chi. You've really got that balance down perfectly. You are making martial arts fans every time you make a movie, man. I cannot sing your praises highly enough.
Wow, thank you. That's a good, you know, compliment. You know, I think, yes, it's something I learned from Jackie Chan. I if you go see all my, you know, work, I never really put too extreme about violent and horror, you know, like violent or something gory or something. I always avoid those. I'm never big fans about those things, you know. I'm more like a family friendly, you know, that kind of idea. And you know, I mean, martial art doesn't have to go that way, I find. And also, I'm not even, but you also look at my other side too, not just extremely gory or violent. I also don't really like dumb comedy, physical dumb comedy. I don't, you look at all my, I don't like to do, make fun with the martial art. I don't like it. I never really did those, you know, stupid kung fu movie or something. I don't do those. I personally always am right in the middle. I don't want to do so dumb. I don't want to be too extreme. I want to be right in there. But don't, sometimes I this is all just my personal. I'm so somehow upset about people. They do dumb action movie, dumb, you know, kung fu, and then make fun with that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a martial artist, I don't think martial art is funny. You know, but people make it like funny. I don't think that's this. I think for me, every time I saw those, I feel like, I know maybe I take it too serious, but I don't like it. I just feel like this is insulting. You know, I don't like it. You know, why are we insulting where we come from? You know, for me. We need to respect that, you know, we need to respect the spirit, you know, we need to respect that. So I won't do too extremely, like, try to make dumb thing, you know. I like the situation fun, like Jackie Chan stuff, you know, good.
Yeah,
stuff,
like not, I actually, not, I was you know. I was talking with Eco Wise about Jackie Chan, like, a week ago. So I'm prepping to work on something with her. And I was talking about how, you know, Jackie, it's like he'll use his physical gifts in a scene to be charming, but he's not making fun of martial arts, right? He'll pull the girl out of the way in a really like interesting and fun way and sit her down at the seat and pull a flower out. But it's like, it's not making fun of martial arts. It's more of like Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton. You know, he's kind of, it's mm-hmm. that evolving of physical gifts and you know, Ico has that same type of kind of like, when he moves, you just kind of stop and watch him and you go, wow, you're just a physical genius. So it's trying to be like talking to him about kind of doing some of that in scenes. And we were both kind of geeking out over Jackie. So it's cool to hear you talking about that now and having that.
No, because he's the master about physical, you know, physical or object, you know, he's the master, you know, of those things. But then the rule, you know, we come from, you know, and the martial art, we already keep the respect on that, you know, for me, because the people laughing about funny, but sometimes I feel it's not always that much funny. What fun, you know, for me, I feel, you know, when you're doing that, I suppose, you know, it's a physical, if you, you know, you step on the, you know, banana peel, you fall off, that's okay, you know. But right. Martial art movies should be more like...
No, we probably don't ever need to hear everybody's kung fu fighting in a movie anymore. We don't need that that needle drop. Yeah.
Yeah, that's me, you know, because that's why you see my work. And I'm taking like, in the serious way, you know, action is action, you know, and kung fu or wire work, we always have... what I'm saying, I have a bottom line. I won't do too. I said it's an installment. Maybe people don't see that, but my interpreter, I don't like those things, and then I don't really like a big fans about the gory and thing, because that's the same thing from Jackie. You see, all Jackie, since he decided to not do too violent and thing, he just stick on that, and that's how he teach me. The movie, this is the one, like I same thing I talk about. He teach me why he don't do that when I work with him. Since Mr. Nice Guy, we talk about it and he say, I don't want to be that violent anymore. I don't want to, when I can chop the people the hand, I would chop it and then I would just turn the knife and just hit him. I don't chop his hand off. So he will start, because he want all his movie can go into a family. Every single door, he want to go into the door. Everyone watching his movie, he teach you something good. He teach you as funny and physical, whatever. But he don't do gory. That's how I learned from him. He said, that's how I get the whole world love me. If you doing chopping hand, it's only few people love, not everyone. And especially parents, don't look at that. You know that. You know what I'm saying? So he understand the marketing too. So that's how I learned from it. And I also. For me to look at his as an idol, you know, he's my master, and maybe that's how I learned from him, and I never really like can get away from it. My head is always around there. I understand this is the biggest success. You know, this is the foundation.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think that's actually a perfect place for us to wrap up. Andy, where can people find you online if they want to follow you? Are you on Instagram, Twitter, stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm Instagram and Facebook. I mean, Twitter, I mostly Instagram can find me, you know, as Andy Chan 23. And then they can go to, you know, Facebook, you know, can find me, you know. So, yeah, they can follow and see what I'm done. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm not post too much, but sometimes I will post the thing coming, you know, like today, you know, 2:30 in Culver City, you know, my martial art day. Mm-hmm. So we're posting those, you know, so hopefully people come to support, you know, and then let this martial art day go bigger and bigger. And then this year we have Japan, hopefully we have more supporting and sponsor, and then we can get the worldwide more people come from different countries and come to join us with this celebration about martial art.
Get some folks from Indo there. You know, talk this up. Get them to come next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Come for help, you know, keep the world moving, keep the martial arts alive, you know, let the new generation understand martial arts could be give you a lot. You know, without martial arts, I won't have my career, won't have my life. I just want to keep this going and going, but not focus on one, you know. We want to be so worldwide. Everyone, different country have different martial arts. We all, you know, it's one family. We all together.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. Andy, we're gonna talk about a couple more things before we wrap up, but we'll let you go. Have fun today. Enjoy yourself. And thank you so much for joining us, man. This was a true honor to meet you today. I do have to shout out our friend Chancellor Haynes, who made this happen. Chancellor's
our booker.
He's our booker. He's always helping us out. I love that guy. He's a good friend.
He's great. I'm thank you him, hope he hooks us up, and I really appreciate that, have some time to, tell some story, and my first time I have, those hosts and give me all the credit, and then bring up all the memory, bring up all the stuff, I already forget, like too long and too many, but then I can feel it, you really like Michael, amazing, you have all my little hit, you're watching it, that's amazing. I mean, like breast size for sure, if people asking, I would never
I guarantee I am the only person in your career that's ever asked you about black sash.
I know you only miss one. If you go another one, that would be funny. The Bionic Woman,
I was going to ask you about Bionic Woman. I have the Bionic Woman set on my bookshelf behind me. I was going to ask you about that, but I wanted to pick one or the other, and I went with Black Sash instead.
The Bionic Woman is same like Best Sash. I did the pilot, they pick up, they go to Canada, and then they cancel. So same thing.
Yeah.
I did the pilot, and then they pick up, and then they cancel because I never been to the series. I only did the pilot. That's cool. like thank you to follow my career, and keep watching it, and keep pushing me.
We'll get you back on whenever you can announce something new or there's something you want to talk about. You have a standing invite to come back whenever and as often as you want. We love talking to you, man. We will happily get you back on.
Wow. Thank you for this offer. I really in my next thing, if I can really announce it, I will jump on it and tell you guys, how exciting I am, how much I think that will be that will be my personal career evolution. That's the bigger thing in my next thing if happening. I'm excited for it, because it's something I've been waiting for the whole long career, and finally getting very close. So hopefully that will happen, and then I can tell the world, hey, let's see this in this coming.
You've got my number. Yeah. So you text me whenever you want to come back on. So, all right, Andy, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have fun at your festival, and we'll talk soon, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Liam. Thank you, Alec. Thank you. Thank you, all you three. All the best. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Big Tings. We just big things. That's what we do on this show. We just do big things. We just got nothing but fucking legends on Action for Everyone, everybody. Chancellor, once again, love you, buddy. Thank you. He's working on another. He is our official booker. He's working on somebody else right now. I don't want to announce. I'll tell you boys once we're done recording, but I don't want to announce what it is in case it doesn't happen. But Chancellor just can't. He can't stop funneling folks to us. So keep it up, buddy.
I got to. We give you credit on this whole episode. This is like a Mike Scott masterclass show today, I have to say. The way you had him, so he loves you. You guys said, I'm an important part of the show, whatever the fuck. No. This show, Mike, you were like the man. You're a cast master. Like this is you make this shit an art, man.
Episode. Yeah, this is a Mike Hall of Fame episode.
I feel bad. I'm sorry. I just.
No. I knew you had it. We didn't even talk a fucking single sentence of the pregame because I just knew you had it. I was like, yeah. I think Vice had the same feeling. Just like, yeah, Mike's got this.
Yeah. Fantastic work. Seriously, that was amazing.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. This was one that I, well, you know, again, I got a lot of, I can't remember to fucking pay my taxes, but I got black sash floating around in this brain. So I'm glad to have.
I don't know about you guys, but there's something about Jackie Chan, like fucking watching The Rock, that just like blew my fucking brain out of the back of my skull. I was like, it's sometimes weird for us because, you know, you grow up here and like you feel like they're two separate worlds, but of course everyone's watching everything at the same time, and it was just sort of like, oh fuck, I love the Michael Bay section. It was incredible.
Well, you knew I had to ask about that. There was,
of course, I was waiting, but I, you know, I would have jumped in with, I mean, there's even just little stuff like Olympus Has Fallen that I was like waiting. I was like, is Vice gonna say something?
Yeah, there was too much gold. I don't want to ruin
I mean, I didn't even get to ask him about working with Sam Raimi. Like I had to like cut that one out because I'm like, I can't.
One was just, I mean, the answer was like, I almost want to put like the fucking Patriot national anthem behind his answer.
But also, like, we got to get Timo back on the show at one point to say, hey, Timo, and you said, don't put the arm, people will love you.
No. It's funny that you thought the exact same
thing. Oh, I think we all did. I think we all did.
But I mean, this is the type of show where you just let the person express themselves. You're not going to be like, well, there's a place for everything.
You know? Well, I mean, and I think Andy would probably say that there's, you know, that there is a place for Timo. Timo is doing Timo's thing. That's just not Andy's thing. And honestly, I don't know that I'd want to see Andy try and do that because that's just not his person. You know, for people listening, you know, we've had Timo on. He's a certified fucking madman, right? Like, I want him to like have that outlet, but Andy's not that level of insanity that our beloved Timo is. So.
No, and you are your experiences and your education and your mentors, like that's part of your life. So if your teacher is Jackie Chan, then that's obviously going to be a part of you. So it made perfect sense to me. That's why it's no point in being like, well, I actually like all forms.
Yep. No.
But also, I just kind of like that we kind of just flex that. We can just call up our friends, Andy Chang and Timo Tejanto. Like, listen to us. Big things.
I got a DM. Again, I won't announce it on the air, but I got a DM I'll tell you guys about after we stop recording. But Liam, are you at a point where you can give us any updates, or are you still still keeping stuff close to the vest?
Still close to the vest. But yeah, you know, I'm here in prep, and you know, I think obviously from Instagram and the Discord that Eco and the Awise team are on board for this film. And that's kind of all I can announce at the moment, but that's enough to be excited about it.
I mean, I really don't know that you need to announce more. The idea of the next Eco Uwise film is directed by Liam O'Donnell is really enough to, like, I think just kind of sell itself, right? Like that.
Well, you know what? Well, thank you. But I will say like that. Yeah, I was sorry because sometimes I feel like I'm a nerd where I'm like, I work with actors too when someone's talking about things. But it was just kind of like crazy because, you know, I sat in the room with him last week when I was in Jakarta, and we just read through the script together. And, you know, I went through every single scene, and in some of them, you know, I'm getting up and acting out in like my dorky white guy of like what it would be. But it's very helpful, you know, and Jackie is like a constant reference. So it was just sort of like a kismet moment where I had to bring it up. But in a lot of it is just me kind of talking like through what I do on this podcast about all of my weird theories of movie stardom and how, you know, everything in this whole script is really just you know, a foundation that is to support your awesomeness. I'm going through all this like in minutia, and you know, it's just it was really, really cool in a couple of different ways because, you know, obviously worked with each other years ago, but it was really interesting to hear what he remembered from it, that things that you know, I didn't necessarily, you know, you have all the different stories of a movie and then you tell people stories when you're doing podcasts and you're doing all this stuff and those kind of stick into your mind. Then there's other days, like he was just saying, he was like, you know, when I was on the radio and Kanye died and you just let the camera run and you just let me walk around the radio and you didn't give me a mark and you said, just feel it and just let me just do it. And you guys just let it run for as long as we wanted to feel it. He's like, no one's ever let me do that. It's always been step on a mark and deliver a line. And he's like, and I just really appreciated that you gave me that freedom. And I was like, oh man, I forgot I did that. I was like, oh yeah. No. And then it comes back, you know, it floods back into your head mm-hmm. because you're like, that was so long ago. And I you know, it was almost sort of just out of naivete that I was like, I don't exactly know what this moment should be. So just feel it. Like, you know, we're intercutting between, you know, Kanye, his sister and Boyan outside. So, you know, there's no reason to just like call cut here. Let's just let it run and let you feel it out. So that, you know, that obviously that feels good to be like, wow, you've done all this other stuff and you've worked on all these huge movies and you still like that part of this experience still stood out. So
wow, I'm a real director.
Yeah, it was a nice feeling. It was like, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, there is just a lot, like I was saying, there's just a lot of these little things that we talk about on the show that I are like finding their way back into the process. And even that Jackie Chan thing, it's like, I want to come in and just be charming. And, you know, like I do like that Jackie does that sort of Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton thing where he's just like going to use his physical gift in a charming way and not, you know, in kind of like wow the audience in ways that aren't martial arts. And I always think that that's, it's like even, you know, he'll just like put his back up against the wall and walk up a palm tree and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, mine was always in the and I spent years trying to learn how to do two things that he did. And they're throwaway things. I've probably told this story before, but one is in the Armor of God movies where he smacks his wrist and throws breath mints into his mouth. Like, so he opens his mouth and slaps his wrist. And again, it's one of those things. And if you look at the behind the scenes, like dozens, if not hundreds of takes to do that. And then the other one is there's a scene in Dragons Forever where he plays a lawyer. He's holding his briefcase upside down and he flips it out in a 360 and grabs it by the handle. And it's just a throwaway thing. I, at the time, worked in a luggage store and absolutely ended up having to buy one of our briefcases that I fucked up so much because I just sit there in the store trying to just throw in this fucking briefcase all over the store. And it's like, how the fuck did he learn how to do this? It's amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, no. It is amazing. And it is just sort of like even hearing about all the takes that they were doing for it. It's fucking the coolest shit. I actually just threw on Police Story 2 here because like Netflix here actually has a seriously robust Jackie Chan selection right now. And I just forgot how baller it is that they just fucking do every single stunt. They're like, forget about the story of the first one. Here's all the badass stunts. And that's the beginning of the movie. And I was like, oh, I should do that for the beginning of the next Skyline. Like, forget about the story. Just like, remember this cool part? Remember this cool part? Like, it's something, something kind of amazing about that.
All right. Well, boys, I think it's a good time for us to wrap it up. So, Vice, where can people find you?
I am on Letterboxd, Being Smart, at Vice.Fitness. Got my few reviews up. On Instagram as well. So, actually, I'm going to follow. First of all, I'm going to follow Andy on Instagram. But, damn, that's, now we're friends now. I'm on Twitter, at Vice.Fitness. I was talking shit. But it's importantly, there's been a lot of stuff that came out recently, movies and TV and stuff. And it's also coming to the end of the year close to the end of the year, holiday season. So like, and then there's going to be some other big pictures coming up as well, like Napoleon. I'm looking forward to that one. You know, Ridley Scott going ham, going wild. Well, all of which is to say, there's a lot of stuff that we might need to catch up on at some point here on the show that I think a lot of our listeners do want to get into, but you know, just, this time constraints and just, you know, life happens. So, I do hopefully, if we're on next week and things go to plan, there's nothing that we can like maybe do a little deeper dive into stuff. I don't, you know, of course, the time frame. New David Fincher, The Killer's out now on Netflix, for example. A lot of people seem to love that. I just saw.
I dug it. I dug it. I thought it was really good, and even seeing some of the stuff that people are talking about, how they did some of the scenes, yeah. Were like, I was like, I know there's compositing happening in this opening yeah. sniper sequence, but I'm not exactly sure how it's done, but everything across the building is so crystal clear in a way that is impossible. So how do they do this? And apparently they built every single room across the fucking way on set and filmed that, like, and it's all composited together onto the plates. And I was like, oh, it just, yeah, it's kind of next level stuff. So yeah. It's a very precise, fun movie to me.
Okay, yeah, so I definitely check it out so we can like, talk to folks up a little more about it. And, you know, I just saw the animated series, Blue Eye Samurai, on Netflix, and that's one of the best things I've seen in like, years, like best pieces of media I've seen. Like, I'm like, wow, I've got to talk about this. We don't have time today, but, and then I know our people, again, listening, like, they're loving it too. So, yeah, just hopefully we can catch up, have a good session now. I know we can meet up next and cover all the stuff that we've seen over the past few weeks now. You know, I know cause we do such big things that we don't have time to do our regularly scheduled broadcasting. So yeah. Like I said, I'm on Twitter.
Vice, give us your 30 seconds of the Marvels.
Oh, it's fine. You know what? Like Blue Beetle, like it was fine, but it was cool. It was fun. Same thing, but it's like it can't save the whole fucking universe. Like it's just like this is a like nice movie where you know with the girl power and the black girl magic and the Sam Jackson's good shit. He's so great. He's great at this. But yeah, it's like it's fine. But of course, you know, it's like it can't the. The tyranny of Disney Core is like kind of ruining the film. Like, so it's kind of ruining the fun of like, this could have just been a fun movie, but you know, there's so much pressure behind it that it can't just be, it's a fun little movie. So, you know, shit happens, but you know, if you vaguely interested, you go, yeah, go check it out. It's fine. But yeah, otherwise, you know, that's what it is.
I thought so too. I thought it was fine. It made me miss my kids, which around the 3 week time is when you turn into the sad dad.
Yeah.
And I did appreciate that Brie Larson walks the line of like empowered, but like she really got very hot for this movie and looked really hot. And then but played it up a lot, but didn't. She's figured out the modern way of doing that, but she looks great.
Really quick, the one thing I've got, speaking of really hot, I watched No Hard Feelings last night. That might have the fight scene of the year in it. That might actually have legitimately one of the best fight scenes of the entire year for multiple reasons. People who've seen it know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, truly a terrific fight scene on many levels. Liam, where can people find you?
Haunting the A-Free Discord and... Liam Odin on Instagram and a little bit more on X/Twitter recently. Unfortunately, I'm slipping into old habits, but
and you can find the show at Linktree/A40podcast. Find me everywhere at Hibachi Justice. I just got a PS5, so you can find me there. So now I'm everywhere. Yeah, I had to finally break down and get one because the Slim, they removed the disc drive from the Slim and you got to buy that fucking separately. And so I'm like, no, I'm going to buy the old one before it goes away. So, and they had the Spider-Man tube, as you guys can see the box.
This is not going.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's where we're at. We will do this again next week. Boys, love you both.
Love you guys. Peace.
Love you.